कपिला पतंजलि उत्तमा को न this is a very nice song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's one of four songs which he has entitled Bhakti Pratikula Bhava Vajanangrikara, which means renunciation of conduct averse to pure devotion. So the translation is as follows. This material creation of yours, O Keshava, is most strange. I have roamed throughout the forest of this universe in consequence of my selfish acts, and I have beheld many strange and curious sights. Forgetfulness of your lotus feet has brought on anguish and grief. As I burn in this fire of misery, my would-be saviors, Kapila, Gautama, Kanada, Jaimini, and Buddha, come running to my aid. Each expounds his particular view, dangling various pleasures and liberation as bait in their philosophical traps. They are all cheaters, averse to your devotional service, and thus fatally dangerous. They are magnates of karma, jnana, and yoga, who specialize in opinions and proofs for cheating the materially inclined. Bhaktivinod, considering refuge at the feet of the Vaishnavas as essential, pays his respects to these cheating philosophers from afar. Dandabat durato Bhaktivinod bhelo bhakata charana kori sar. So from a distance, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he offers his respects to these different philosophers. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving a very nice and succinct, succinct means concise, compressed description of the world of Maya. So Maya means illusion. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur compares this material world to a forest. That comparison originates in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the fifth canto. There's a lengthy description there, the forest of material enjoyment. So a forest is a very strange, mysterious, beautiful, and yet dangerous place. So when one wanders in the forest, one can be confronted from all sides by dangers. There is danger, as it is said, padam padam yadi padam natesham in Srimad Bhagavatam. In this material forest or this material world, there is danger at every step. So, for one who has at least some intelligence, recognizing, enough to recognize that this material world is a dangerous place. There are some people who are unable to do that. It is actually said in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Lord Krishna to Uddhava, that in this world you will find two kinds of happy people. You will find those who are happy because they have transcended this world. They are situated in Brahma Bhuta consciousness. So as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. One who has transcended this body, transcended this material world, he's Prasanatma, he's always joyful. Then there's another kind of happy person, the complete fool, who is just content to be in this world, and he's too foolish to even recognize that there's any problem here. So actually, both are in the minority. We rarely see self-satisfied Atmaramas, transcendentalists, who are always joyful. And similarly, we rarely see people who are so foolish that they are always joyful. Those kind of people are usually put in some home somewhere, and you cannot see them. But most people in human society, most human beings, are in this in-between. In between means they have enough intelligence to recognize that this world is filled with problems. It is a strange, mysterious, beautiful yet dangerous place. So, in trying to enjoy in this world, they're attracted by the pleasures, but they're met with so many obstacles, so they become perplexed what to do. So then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's describing in this song, in this world of Maya, when one becomes perplexed, you see, when one begins to think philosophically, why am I here? What shall I do? How do I get out of this mess? And it does not mean that now Maya is finished with you. Oh, now he's become thoughtful. All right, give him liberation. Let him go. No, no. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes here, Kapila Patanjali Gautama Kana Bhoji Jaimini Bauda Awe Dhai. Then, in my confusion, these different philosophers, these are famous philosophers in India, not so well known in the West, but actually the philosophies that they present are universal. So Kapila, this is the atheistic Kapila, Kapila Muni. There are different philosophers in India who have gone under the name Kapila. So the real Kapila, the son of Devahuti, he is presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto. And he teaches a kind of philosophy which is called Bhagavat Sankhya. So Sankhya, the word Sankhya means to count. So just like in the Western world, what is the overriding philosophy? It is material science. Everything in modern life, you see, all values, practically all occupations, it is ultimately, if you trace it back, you find it is being dictated, dictated from the background by science. This is practically why everyone is doing what they're doing now, because there's some scientific purpose for it. The whole global civilization is linked up together in this way. So science, that is the overriding philosophy. Everyone is being educated in that way, materially, material science. So the foundation of material science is Sankhya. Also in the Western world, because as I said, what does Sankhya mean? To count. So Sankhya means mathematics. So Lord Kapila, Devahuti Putra Kapila, who is an incarnation of Krishna himself, taught the science of counting mathematically. Analyzing this material creation. But he comes to the real conclusion because he is the personality of Godhead who descended to open the darkened eyes of the fallen conditioned souls with true transcendental knowledge. So he, in his teachings on Sankhya in Srimad Bhagavatam, brings us from this explanation of the material world as a combination of so many elements and modes of nature. He brings us up to the platform of understanding the soul, that we are not the body, but we are spirit soul, and moreover, that the soul is an eternal servant of the Supreme Soul, Sri Krishna. There's a very nice verse in which Lord Kapila says that sattva evaika manaso That when we come to the transcendental platform, when we come out of the influence of the modes of nature and the material elements that comprise this material world, then in that transcendental state, we can see our real nature. Vritti svabhava ki. Svabhava means our actual nature, the true nature of the self. And what is that true nature? Animitta bhagavati. That true nature is to render service to the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada often would give this explanation that in this material world we are also serving. That's all that's going on here. Everyone is serving. Every living entity is serving. Nobody is actually the master. Those who declare themselves master, you study, you will find they're also serving. Ultimately, everyone has to serve. Birth, old age, disease, death. Everyone has to serve their senses. And everyone is engaged in serving so many, many countless other living entities. Even if I sit myself on a big throne and put a crown on my head and think of myself as the master of everyone, I'm serving no one, everyone serves me. Still, within my belly, within my body, there's so many little germs and they're feasting away. I'm doing service to them, providing them with their food. My body is their food. So everyone is serving. So this is the actual position. But in this material world, the service has become perverted by selfishness. We have become... Actually, this is not even really selfishness. It is simply foolishness. It is simply stupidity. That's all. We cheat ourselves by this so-called selfishness. In another song here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he uses the term for this selfishness, abhiman. Abhiman means false designation. So he says, say abhiman, sangsare poriya. What is the result of this abhiman, this falsely designating myself to be Lord and Master? What has happened as a result? I fell into this ocean of samsara. This is the great advantage I have found. And I've fallen into this ocean of birth and death. So this is, yes, this is just foolishness. Anyway, so Lord Kapila, he says that when we can see our real nature beyond the material existence, our eternal transcendental nature, then we will see that we are servant, but not of this material body. Or not other material bodies, but we are servants of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, he concludes, to realize this, bhakti siddhya gariyasi, this is the perfection that surpasses all other perfections. There is no other perfection that can compare with this. It's like there's a story of some various sages in the forest. They had done their penances, and they each gotten different perfection. And so one sage had gotten the perfection of having an axe, a magical axe, which he used to always keep his fire burning. He would just rub the axe, and then the axe would fly through the air, chop wood, and bring the wood back, and make a fire. This way his fire was always burning, so he was happy. And then in another place, there was a sage who, because he had been frightened by some elephants, so he had gotten the benediction from some demigod of a drum. All he had to do was beat the drum, and any enemy would immediately flee away, would have become frightened and go. He could repel any enemy with that. Then there was another sage who had had always trouble getting food, so he had a kind of akshaya patra, it's called, a bowl which whenever he wanted would be filled with yogurt. And if he turned it over, as much yogurt as he wanted would just keep pouring out until it would just form a river. It would not stop pouring until he turned it up again. Then it would be full. So these sages, in their different ways, they had achieved their perfections, and they were thinking, now we have attained everything. Huh? Now we are very happy. And then along came someone else who had achieved a magic jewel. So by this jewel, he, just by holding it, he could fly anywhere he wanted. So this person came flying over the Himalayas, and he landed in that forest where these sages were, and he was wandering around, and then he met the sage with the magic axe, and he thought, I must have this axe. So then, you see, this man was actually a kind of very criminal-type mentality. So he said to the sage with the axe, look, I'll make a trade. You give me the axe, I'll give you this wonderful jewel. And so the sage thought, well, that's very nice. Yes, I would also like to fly. So he exchanged. So the man with the axe, he went off a little bit, and then he rubbed the axe, and he instructed the axe, because the axe would do, after rubbing, the axe would do whatever it was told. So go cut the sage's head off and bring me the jewel. So in this way, this criminally minded person, he went around and he killed all these sages, and he collected the drum and the pot full of yogurt and so on. And then he went on his way. So, so even when one attains mystic powers, material mystic powers, still all the cheating and rascaldom and all the, you know, the ills of the material world, they will afflict him just on a higher platform. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying this material world is a very strange place. Because wherever you go in this material world, even if it's very fantastic, very wonderful, you will ultimately find the same nonsense going on in one form or the other. So anyway, the point I'm making, yeah, the bhakti siddhya gariyasi. So above all these sorts of perfections, which are all temporary and ultimately illusory, there is bhakti. That simply means to revive one's eternal position as servant of Krishna. If one attains that, then that cannot be taken away. So this is the teachings of Lord Kapila. But there is another Kapila, or I've been told that there were even more than one of these atheistic Kapilas. Kapila is a sort of common name among wise teachers in India. So anyway, there was at least one other Kapila, if not more, who was teaching Nirishwara Sankhya. Sankhya philosophy without God. So Sankhya philosophy means counting up the material elements in the Vedic estimation, depending on whether one is an atheistic philosopher, or impersonal philosopher, or Bhagavat philosopher. One may say there are 23, 24, or 25 elements. One can count as the 24th element the living entity, and as the 25th element, one may count the super soul. But actually, we need not count them as elements because they're transcendental. So anyway, this atheistic Kapila philosopher, he counted up the material elements, and he taught about the modes, the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And he even taught about the soul, the Purusha. He refers to the soul as Purusha, but he did not speak of the Purushottama, the Supreme Soul. And he did not speak that it, instruct that it is the the eternal nature of the spirit soul to be servant of God. Rather, his conclusion is that there is an internal relationship between the soul and matter. That soul cannot exist without matter, and matter cannot exist without soul. Something like that. They must be combined in order for existence to go on. So he's a materialist. So he taught, his teaching was a sort of liberation from the imbalance of modes of nature. He said the only problem that we're having in life is that the modes of nature are out of harmony, out of balance. This sounds suspiciously like some New Age philosophies today. They speak of harmonizing the energies. So here Kapila was saying the same sort of thing many, many thousands of years ago. So as I said, although we may not know the philosophers, the philosophies are universal. They're universal forms of materialism. And then there is Patanjali Muni, who taught Ashtanga Yoga, the yoga of mysticism, attaining liberation through very extreme self-control, to the point where one even ceases to breathe. This is the goal of pranayama, breath control. In yoga classes today, they teach some sort of pranayama, breathing in through this nostril, breathing out through that one. But they don't bring you to the point where you actually stop breathing altogether, but that's the real goal. The outgoing breath is suspended into the ingoing breath. And so the movement of the airs, in this way, the yogi enters into a state of complete suspended animation. There's no more sense activity, because the senses move in this, the senses are working in this body by some, you might call, hydraulic principle. There are fluids and things moving within the body, but it's being pumped by air, subtle airs. So anyway, when the airs in the body are stopped, that means all the senses stop. So from pranayama comes what is called pratyahara, withdrawal from all sense activity. And then one can simply focus his concentration. This is called dharana. There is no more distraction from material existence. Then dhyana, meditation. And finally samadhi. So Patanjali's sense of samadhi is, of course, inactive. There is no active service. He did speak of visualizing the Ishvara, the Lord in the heart, but it appears that many of the followers of Patanjali Muni, they take this to mean that when you become perfect in yoga, then you are the Ishvara. You become the Ishvara. It's unclear whether Patanjali Muni really meant to teach that, but anyway, that's the way many of his followers have understood. But it's clear that Patanjali was not teaching bhakti yoga. Whatever was his ultimate conclusion about the Ishvara, whether Ishvara and soul are the same or different, that's another matter, but it's clear he did not teach the process of devotional service. Then there's Gautama. Gautama is the great Nyaya philosopher. Nyaya means logic. Logician, so that logical argument is still going on today. And Jaimini is the great philosopher of karma mimamsa. Karma mimamsa means good works which promote the soul to some higher station in the next life, higher planet. So the Karma Mimamsakas, they view this material world as being eternal. It is actually the eternal home of the spirit soul. And the whole purpose of life is to enjoy sense gratification by following the Vedic rules and regulations. This is how they use the Vedas. They take the Karma Kanda section and they find that, oh, this is a very nice proposal. We can follow these Vedic rules and regulations and life after life take very good births and enjoy sense gratification. And if you try to tell them, well, you know, this life is temporary, You may get a nice situation, a beautiful wife, nice home, money in the bank, but you will lose that. And they will say, yes, in this one life, I will lose it. But if I follow the Vedas, then in the next life, I will get another beautiful wife, another home, more money in the bank. So it will just go on like this. This is their idea. So, and then finally, Buddha is mentioned. Shunyavada. Shunyavada means nihilism. Actually, that is the end of it. One may go through different philosophies, trying out this, trying out that, speculating in different ways. In the end, one becomes frustrated. This is the unfortunate conclusion of it all. So, Buddhism is a philosophy of frustration. Everything is ultimately absurd, has no meaning, and the only truth is void, nothing. Nothingness is the truth. So, if you ask, well, how to realize this nothingness, and then the Buddha, he just holds up a lotus and smiles. This is his answer. So, what do you do? So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that in this strange world, when we become perplexed, then such philosophers come rushing to our aid, saying, yeah, follow this path, follow that path. But, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, they are magnates. Magnates means just like, the term is used today, business magnate. Like Mr. Sony, or whoever, I suppose that's a real name of somebody. Mr. Ford, these famous names in the business world. So they have at their command vast resources to propagate their products throughout the world. And so these philosophers are like that. Who hasn't heard of mystic yoga? We may not have all heard of Patanjali, but we've all heard of yoga. So that's his product. Who hasn't heard of Buddha and Buddhism? Who hasn't heard of also, is Kanada? Yeah, Kanada is mentioned. Kanada is an atomic philosopher. Philosopher of atomic theory. So everybody's heard of atomic theory. Everybody's heard of logic. Everybody's heard of doctrine of good works. You see, do good deeds now and enjoy in some higher place in heaven or wherever in the next life. So everybody's heard of these philosophies. They've been propounded throughout the world. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, these philosophers mentioned, they are magnates of what? Of karma, jnana, and yoga. So karma means fruitive work, jnana means speculative knowledge, and yoga means impersonal mysticism. It is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami, that even one becomes successful. The goal of karma is bhukti. You see, that's the perfection. If one is a good karmi, then one should attain bhukti. Bhukti means sense enjoyment. So, say you're a good karmi and you attain bhukti. Or say you're a good jnani. So what is the jnani's aim after? Mukti, liberation. Impersonal liberation. So say you attain that. Or siddhi, this is the goal of yoga. Siddhi means mystical perfections. Say you even imagine yourself in the end to be the Ishwara. You have so many mystic powers that you can consider yourself to be the Lord. But Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Shakala Ashanta. These persons, they're all Kamis. Kami means, as opposed to, we've been using the term Karmi, so Kami, it's a different word. Karmi. Kami. Kami means one whose heart is filled with material desires. That is a kami. So even one attains bhakti, sense gratification, or liberation, impersonal liberation, or mystic power, still he is not free of desires in the heart. Rather, these goals are simply the goals of material desire. Someone may say, for instance, well, how can we consider liberation or salvation to be the goal of material desire? Yeah, that simply means one has become weary of sense gratification. That's all. He has tried to enjoy his senses and he's become tired. So he wants a rest. He wants, there was a song, hit song many years ago called "Stop the World, I Want to Get Off." So that's that's all he wants. He wants to stop the world and get off. But after taking that rest, just as we see in the material society, the karmis work hard and then they want their vacation. So then here in Sweden, they all hop on buses and drive down to Spain. So they go to the beach somewhere in Mallorca or wherever it is and lay there for some days under the hot sun and get nice and brown. And then they get restless because the material desires are still there. And they start thinking of foggy old Göteborg and of course the factory place is there waiting for them. Wait, is there a big factory here? Volvo? Yes. So they want to go back to the Volvo factory and take up their work again and earn those nice kroner. So they hop on the bus and come back. So this material salvationism, just to get free of a perplexing, frustrating situation for some time, it does not mean to become free from material desires. And similarly, siddhi, one may become very advanced in mystic powers, but because material desires are there in the heart, he wants to use these mystic powers for material purposes, ultimately for sense gratification. There are so many stories in the Vedic literature of great yogis who use their powers just for sense enjoyment, burn them up in that way. So anyway, bhukti mukti siddhi kami, they're not free of lusty desires, therefore sakala ashanta, they're actually no peace for them. They're restless, they become agitated. Just like these big yogis, they get a little disturbed by something and then they curse. And this way they use up all their power just to curse someone. So, shakala ashanta. So, therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this is all cheating. But he recognizes that these cheating philosophers, they're being sent by Krishna. Actually, these philosophies, ultimately, the intelligence to formulate such philosophies and the mass appeal, that is all coming from Krishna. Krishna is inspiring so many people within the heart to become attracted to these philosophies. But why? Because they want to be cheated. That's all. Therefore, we've come to this material world. This is the place of cheaters and cheated. This is the business here. For one who is serious, is actually serious about getting out of this material world, then he has to do like Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes here. You can pay your respects from afar. That Krishna, you are so wonderful that by your potency, millions and millions of living entities are being kept in darkness for millions and millions of years by these expertly propounded material philosophies. And this is very wonderful. But I want nothing to do with these philosophies. I am not interested. So, let us see. That is... This is a nice song about what we should not be interested in. Now let's find a nice song. Where Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes what we should do. There are many, many nice songs. I think in the beginning, actually. There are some beautiful songs in the beginning.